Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ, a podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania, dedicated to connecting the liturgical and spiritual life of the Orthodox parish with the life of the Orthodox home, presenting the weekly homilies of our parish pastors, Father Noah Buscelli and Father James Thayer, as well as discussions of the liturgical year and Orthodox life and practice by Justin Bowl and Jeff Hyatt. Now here is Father James Thayer.
Wisdom, stand upright, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be to all.
And to the Spirit.
The reading from the Holy Gospel according to the Holy Apostle and Evangelist. At that time, a man came testing Jesus and asking, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Do you know the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And the man said, "All these I have observed from my youth." And when Jesus heard it, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the man heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus, seeing him sad, said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God. All sorts of people come to Jesus in the course of his ministry. Most of them are sick in body and or mind. Think of the blind man, the 10 lepers, the woman with the flow of blood, the epileptic, the demoniacs, the lunatics. The one thing they have in common is that they are desperate. And they see Jesus as their last hope. He heals freely, telling them their faith has made them whole. And he heals even when their faith is weak. Remember the man whose son, daughter, servant was ill, and he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Yes, even when their faith was weak, the Lord had mercy on them. The second sort of people that came to Jesus were generally people that we might call doctors of the law, Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, etc. They didn't come to learn or even discuss. I think the exception being Nicodemus, who came to him by night. who was a ruler of the synagogue. But most of them came to debate, to argue, to try to trick him or trip him up. You remember those questions that they asked him about whether it's lawful to divorce. Moses says this, and so forth. Or remember the silliest one was when he was asked about the woman who was married to a man, and the man died, so she was given to his brother, as is according to Hebraic law, as a wife, and so forth, and then he died, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth, all down to number 7, and then he died. And so when she died, the question was, who is she going to have in heaven as her husband? Well, I'm sure Jesus said, oh, for Pete's sake. I mean, maybe being Jewish, he would have said, oh, for Shlomo's sake or something, or oh, for Moshe's sake. Really. But, you know, and they criticized his actions. Once he went in to eat, and he hadn't washed his hands. And they criticized him for that, that he had violated the commandments. And of course, he said to them, well, you're concerned about the outer things, but are totally unconcerned about the inner things, because it is not what goes into a man that pollutes him, but what comes out of his mouth. Murders, envies, lying, slander, and so forth. No, their intent was to criticize and discredit Jesus, either his teachings or his actions. But this man, in the gospel lesson today, only came to ask a question, a very important question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And this incident is so important that it is recorded in all three synoptic gospels. But in all three synoptic gospels is this story. And it's interesting that in the account in the gospel according to St. Mark, it says this young man came running and he knelt at Jesus' feet before he asked this question. So Jesus told them the commandments. All Jews believe that the law is the revelation of God's will for them and indeed for all of humanity. This was a very pious man. He kept the commandments from his youth up. So there was no need for repentance for him, as there was, say, for Zacchaeus. We'll read about him in a couple of weeks. Or the publican. We'll read about him in a couple of weeks. But Jesus says, not enough. Knowing the young man is rich, he says to him, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And he concluded by saying, when the rich man was so downcast because he was so rich and so reluctant to give up those riches, he said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. Now, some preachers and commentators think this is a story about wealth and its hold on this young man. It may be that, but I think it is broader. I think it is about loves. Loves. I make sort of an awkward plural there. Love is usually just a noun, but loves, plural. Last week's gospel was about a man's love of security. Remember his barns that he threw up. And 2 weeks ago, it was the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor and how should I love him? By the way, the lawyer asked Jesus the same question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But he asked it with an agenda. Like every lawyer, there was going to be a hook in that question. And then he went, but who is my neighbor? And so forth. So he wasn't quite as innocent as this young man. In both Gospels, the question is, what do you love? What do you love? Jesus is not willing to let the young man off the hook. Following the commandments is not enough. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this man loved wealth, just like the rich farmer loved security. And if this gospel is to mean anything to us, we must ask ourselves, what are the loves that keep us from loving God with our whole heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? Is it wealth? Do we love our 401ks, our Roth IRAs, our material security? Remember what our Lord says, that we are not to take any thought for what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal we shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these will be added to you. Is it love of family, one's loved ones? Listen again to the words of the Lord. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother and wife and children, and even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Do you love these more than God? And there is one more I want to add on the list: sex and lust. If any man look at a woman with lust, says our Lord, he has already committed adultery in his heart. St. Paul refers to those whose God is their belly, referring to all the sensual appetites that draw us away from God. Consider pornography, the scourge of our modern era, and the promiscuity, what one in a more innocent time we used to disdain as free love, but now is practically unpaid prostitution by both men and women. Yes, are you addicted to this? Do you love this more than you love the Lord? In all this, what are your loves? Jesus says we must love God with our whole soul, our whole mind, all our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Do we? Do we do that? No, we don't. We certainly don't love God with all our soul, mind, strength, heart, blah, blah, blah. No, we don't. And I can tell you that how many people go to confession, and maybe it's yours truly also, who says, oh, Father, I confess that before God that I have not been faithful in my prayer rule. I have not prayed. Well, let's ask a more daunting question. How many of us perhaps have gone the entire day, one entire day, and not only not prayed, but not even thought of God? Is that possible? Yes. And love our neighbors, well, as ourselves? Oh, I don't think so. Not only do we not love strangers, or sort of undesirable strangers, homeless people and so forth, we don't even love our relatives. I mean, I'm sure husbands and wives would say, oh, yes, I love my wife. Oh, yes, I love my husband. And then they're to each other's And you know, people come to me and say, well, I confess the sin of anger. Anger is not a sin. Moses was angry when he saw the children of Israel worshiping the golden calf. Jesus was angry at the corruption of the money changers in the temple. No, the question is, what are you angry about? And usually people are angry because they don't get their own way. And that's when they lash out at their spouse, their friends, their relatives, their in-laws. That's when they sulk and pout. Yes, that's when it becomes a sin. But it's quite clear that if we look at ourselves for 30 seconds, we know that we do not love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now, Father Noah said I should keep this sermon short because I'm here alone. So let me get to the last question. What are we to make of the question and answer at the end? When the disciples ask Jesus, who then can be saved? And he answers, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I think this statement refers to his crucifixion and his resurrection. God, through Christ, redeems us from sin by his offering on the cross and opens to us everlasting life through his rising from the dead. What man could never accomplish, Christ has done. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the only sinless one, the impossible made possible by God. And lest you think I'm just whistling Dixie, then he took the 12 aside, and this is a few verses after what we've just finished in the gospel reading. And he said, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Yes, they were clueless and would remain so until after the resurrection. The crucifixion and resurrection are, in this context, what the late Paul Harvey, great Paul Harvey, would have called the rest of the story. Yes. And these two topics, what Christ accomplished through his crucifixion and resurrection, we shall take up in great detail during Great Lent and during Paschal. So stay tuned. Coming soon to an Orthodox church near you. Amen. Hallelujah.